Mark Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
8:35 Central African time. At this time of the morning, we join Member of Parliament Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, firebrand, the leader of NFP, someone that makes the headlines for the right reason. And Alhamdulillah, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, liked by many, one of his biggest fans being George Galloway, of Mouth, mother of all talk show hosts. And Ahmed Farak made headlines also. His visa being refused by the Israeli Zionist government. Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam on his segment called Parliamentary Tunes. Ahmed, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, a little windy in the city of Johannesburg today. So I'm here visiting my grandson and then later today attending an event in Reveille. But otherwise, all is well, alhamdulillah.
Yes, I'm with the grandson. Did you play some soccer with him? Because I like him as good as you, because you were known as Jim Scott, the man that scored. Hey, no offside goals. Talk to us, Ahmed.
Yes, indeed. Yes. I've actually come yesterday. The limited time that's actually available. But however, you know, you have to have time for family and whatever else that goes with it, of course, all in a day's work.
Ahmed, now this is the deal, right? Next time when you come to Durban, you know, when you visit the Kabristan, come and pick me up. And I want to be with you. I want to do a tour with you, just on the Kabristan thing. Because you go, I know every grave of your family member you go and visit. So that's a deal, Ahmed?
Yes, indeed. Why not? Yes. And I think that is very important. I think it tells us, reminds us that we all going to go there eventually in any event. Let us not forget the role that these people played in our life. But of course, it's a reminder that that can come at any time. And based on that, we should be prepared. We should prepare ourselves.
Alhamdulillah.
Badullah says that there's no, he was misinterpreted. He did not call for the axing of Minister Godane. Julius Malema, it is now confirmed, biggest funder, supporter, is the illegal cigarette baron. And I think a whole lot of investigations. I mean, an event of this nature, in my understanding, is going to lead up to about 100 million rand. And if you look at that, the Political Party Funding Act, and we are supposed to disclose donations and things and sponsors that we're getting, he's hardly ever declared anything before. But it'll be interesting to see, and maybe this is the time to test this Political Party Funding Act to see exactly how they would account for these things. Well, you know, many of the African leaders have defied the West, and I'm glad they did, to attend the Africa-Russian summit. And already you can see the Russians are offering a whole lot of money to bring down the debt level of the African countries, which is very good. But very importantly, Cyril Ramaphosa seems to have just woken up from the grave. He actually says that African countries are independent, they are sovereign states, and they should not be dictated to by anyone in the outside. They should be allowed to take decisions in the best interest of their own countries. Well, I hope he's going to be able to put his money where his mouth is and stick to that. There's been quite a hectic week in Durban, by the looks of it. I'm told early hours of the morning. Yesterday, there's been a shooting in Victoria Street as one of them, and also Stamford Hill. Somebody was shot dead. A cell phone shop was robbed in Victoria Street, so criminals are getting daring in a busy street like Victoria Street. Can you imagine? Compare it to the old Victoria Street, how peaceful it used to be, Brother Shepherd. But yeah, it seems like they are getting desperate. The UAE seems to have something to do or interfered or supported by, you know, these allegations, the coup in Niger. And it doesn't all go well for them, particularly for Middle Eastern countries, if that is the direction we want to move. Well, a latest report says that over 50% of South Africans are overweight and obese, which is giving rise to the high levels of diabetes and other illnesses and sicknesses and diseases in the country. It's time to go back and do something about it. Liquidations on the rise. Funding for young athletes seems to be a matter that has now come up in the public domain, something that we have been raising in all your radios, on your media interviews. The car license fraud seems to now go up to about 89 million. And we correctly say that the system does not allow for corruption, but individuals that are working, they were able to manipulate the systems and remove these outstanding fines and penalties that were due to clear them out to be able to get their licenses. So you can see anywhere and everywhere they find ways and means of being able. So it clearly indicates that the amount of loopholes that exist. But I think, what does it tell you about particularly the South African society? It seems like we are a very violent society. It seems like we are, to some extent, a very corrupt society, because if you look at the levels of corruption, it's not limited to just high-ranking politicians or government officials. At all levels you find, whether it's in the police force, in the health sector, you know, ordinary people working in companies, but it clearly indicates that South Africa is very conducive for crime and corruption. And I think it's a matter that needs attention.
Absolutely, Ahmed. And then, you know, you look at Cyril Ramaphosa getting quite vociferous about, you know, Africa waking up. And that's why we find that this, you know, this American female coming through, she's known as a warmongering, you know, thumper, or some, she bangs the drums, you know, the war drums wherever she goes. And this is perhaps Cyril not playing the game of his former masters. Why the sudden change? And you know what? What could this mean to us with this Americans coming here? You know how they work. They work in conditions that are so sinister. They'll put in their plants, bomb scare, and this will happen. And sometimes your electric, I mean, the load shedding thing will be gone to another level. The Rand dollar exchange, you'll see, you know, a shortage of food and so forth. Talk to us about this type of scenario that awaits South Africa, Allah forbid.
I'm trying to compare this with a Western movie. You are now, all these African leaders are suddenly being entertained by one of the most powerful nuclear person in the world. I think they're afraid of him. They realize, well, now I think they're feeling a little bit more secure with the likes of President Putin there. So maybe that is what is giving them this courage to be able to become vocal and make comments and things against the West. It's a nice feeling, isn't it? Yeah, we've got some bodyguards. You know, this guy is really evil. But remember, the North Korean leader is also threatening. Even last week, he threatened again, not, you know, the actions of the West and others. So and if these people come together, I think, and maintain that level of allegiance to each other, I think to a very large extent they can bring the United States, America, and the West, particularly Europe, to the level that they deserve to come down. There is no doubt. On this warmonger, yes, I'm told that wherever she goes, regime changes follow her. And it's strange enough that just before the election, she's now coming into South Africa. She's got a notorious reputation for regime change in many other countries, and she's here at the moment. It will be very interesting to see, you know, who she's going to be meeting and engaging with. Our intelligence, I know, is very weak. But what we should be doing is tracking her every movement. Maybe we need to do what the Israelis did to me last week. They wanted to know my entire movement if I came before they took a decision whether they will give me a visa or not. And that including which roads that I'm going to be using. Can you imagine at every given time where you're staying, who you're going to visit, which roads you are going to be used, so that they could have you monitored at every end. And maybe that's what we need to do, is start dealing with the USA, Israel, and many of these others, particularly those that are responsible for human rights violations all over the world, regime changes and things like that, who have their own agenda. Maybe we need to treat them with the contempt that they deserve. So So, but this woman coming here leaves a lot of questions. The timing is particularly for me, and more importantly, who she's going to be engaging with during her visit to South Africa.
You know, Ahmed, what is a very worrying factor? Is your intelligentsia, I mean, your intelligence is not non-existent. There is a tug of war within the intelligentsia, the RET group with the Ramaphosa's men there, but it seems all are compromised, and, you know, they're pushing forward a certain form of agenda. And as you said, when it comes to intelligentsia, perhaps they say the Mossad or the FBI, the CIA, or the, you know, the Britishers. I don't know about the KG, I mean, the Russians, I mean, they may be very powerful indeed. Even Turkey, they're up to speed. Some say the Pakistanis are right on top there. But why has our intelligentsia, you know, fallen so ungraciously, Ahmed?
Yeah, you are correct in your observation, Brother Shem, that our intelligence is compromised. If you look at even the an intelligence officer is an hierarchy, is attending the Julius Malema event that's taking place now, where is, you know, that raises many questions, particularly if, you know, with the allegations leveled against Julius Malema, not on point engineering, VBS Bank, and a whole lot that's going on. Now, I gave you an earlier example of, you know, perhaps about 100 million rand might be, you know, spent in that particular. Now, intelligence is supposed to be in the forefront of all these things, observing who these people are working with, including political parties in this country that are working with others for regime change and things like that. Now, your intelligence, and I think we said earlier on, that we seem to be compromised all over when it comes to corruption and looting and theft and high levels of crime. Again, I think it's the quality of people that we also employ or deploy, and that the SCADA deployment is becoming a problem. And you are correct again that the internal factional fights in the ANC, you know, they appoint these people, and when they start fighting each other, they expose each other. You can see what's happening to the Deputy President, Paul Mashatile. All of them have been busy together. And but, it, you know, organizations or institutions and structures like intelligence, police and things, they're supposed to be absolutely independent, objective, and high levels of morals and ethics and integrity, but it just does not exist. The question that then arises is, do we really have such people at that level that can really, you know, take South Africa forward, but more importantly, conduct themselves in an ethical manner? Or is it that we have very little room for that in South Africa? And what is the reasons why so many of these people will be willingly go and participate in corrupt activities and things? But if your intelligence fails you, your country is as good as gone. Can you imagine if there's an attack against the country tomorrow and your intelligence is fast asleep like we had in the July protest? Mm-hmm. They didn't know what was coming at all. And like that, you know, right now with this warmonger coming into the country as well, if nobody is following her and observing her movements and who she's engaging and speaking to, and what is really going on there. You know, intelligence normally would infiltrate any organization, you know, and be always one step ahead, but not our intelligence. It's either the state security is a mess, military intelligence is a mess, crime intelligence is a mess. So our entire intelligence, even going lower down, you know, let's bring it down to even your informers, where it is. If it was working, then you won't have such high levels of crime and things. Did you notice that a lot of these things, you only find them out much later after the acts have been committed already? And yet you're supposed to be proactive to be able to timelessly identify, you know, a high risks. But they don't. They're not able to do that.
You know, Ahmed, let's give credit to Jacob Zuma. You know, his intelligentsia was like, you know, on the ball when it came to the 2010 World Cup. You remember the paranoia the Americans were sending out stories, certain stadiums will be bombed and this will happen. But Zuma and his intelligentsia were on the ball. So no such thing will ever happen in South Africa. We got everything under control. And, you know, you had to give him credit for that. He was on the ball when it came to the Israeli Mossad and what they were doing in the country. Very few of African leaders have this type of intelligentsia which Zuma surrounded himself with. Perhaps he had some, Muslims that at a very high level, giving him advice. I know one of the security companies that was Muslim-owned used to do all his security events and so forth. And I knew the owner very well, who passed on a few years ago, Allah Fandis Kabarud Noor. And he used to tell me, Jacob Zuma already knew exactly who's who in the zoo. Your comments, Ahmad?
Well, remember, Jacob Zuma, former President Jacob Zuma, was in charge of intelligence in the ANC, despite his limited education. And he did a fantastic piece of work for them. There's no doubt about that. And I think that is what has made him a strong leader that he was. You can see it to such an extent that despite all the objections and opposition and statements and allegations against Jacob Zuma, he was able to get released. Can you imagine? So it simply means that this man is powerful. He's more importantly powerful on the ground. And but a lot of credit to him, because as the responsible person for intelligence in the ANC, he served them very well. And for that reason, you find that our current intelligence, if they are, were caught wanting, particularly during the July unrests and other incidents that have actually taken place, because they were not aligned. Those that might have not aligned themselves to Jacob Zuma was not responsible. So it simply means that to some extent, or to a very large extent, Jacob Zuma, by virtue of the fact he was responsible for intelligence, controls intelligence in the country. So many, many years later, he's still in charge in one way or the other. And what he's done is basically captured the intelligence. And maybe that is the reason why we were not able to find out, timelessly, that there is going to be a protest action in support of Jacob Zuma. Because those that were responsible might have known, and obviously didn't expose this because they are aligned to Jacob Zuma. That's the problem. So if that is the case, then it tells us there's a lot more that's going to go on, in particularly right now that Jacob Zuma is wanted, lost the matters in court, is expected to go back to the correctional facilities, which I know and you know he's not going to want to do. So he is going to bring in his support in the intelligence in the country and other role players. He still garners a lot of support in. I can tell you now that if Jacob Zuma has to launch his own political party tomorrow, as much as he's been in the media, in the public domain for the wrong reasons, he will capture quite a few seats. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. He'll be back in parliament. And Ahmad, we talk about the July unrest. Cyril Ramaphosa actually admitted that it wasn't for those communities that stood against this looting. I mean, they were coming to massacre people. They were coming, with the live ammunition. They had AK-47. And here we had, brave men going out and standing at the outskirts of the suburbs and blockading it and, not allowing these guys are shooting at each other. Allah forbid, what would have happened if communities didn't protect themselves? There would have been a bloodbath and perhaps, RET back in power. Ahmad, let's talk about that.
Well, I think the important thing to note is that who says it's not going to happen in the future? Who says it's not going to happen if the ANC loses the election in 2022? Is the ANC willing to give up power? That's one question that has not been answered thus far. Are you going to sit back and just accept it? We once said that if the white man lost power in the country, if he lost his right hand, you tie the gun to his left hand, he'll still continue shooting. Now, what is the ANC going to do? Even though we all know that these liberation movements have a lifespan in like 30 years and this is coming to an end now in any event. But on the issue of that protest action and if there's others that take place, and more importantly, if a lot of those in those law enforcement who are supposed to protect or uphold the rule of law are aligned to the RET faction, you understand, then of course there'll be chaos and mayhem and bloodbath in this country. There's no doubt about it. And we've seen it. The police was nowhere to be found. The defense force was nowhere to be found. Law enforcement were nowhere to be found. Metro police were nowhere to be found. More importantly, if you look at some of the comments, even from some of the law enforcement, particularly in the Metro police and things, who were targeting the minority groups, blaming them for a whole lot. So it caused a whole lot of harm. And it could have got completely out of hand if those communities did not decide to stand up and rise and protect themselves. And then look at the backlash that they've had to try and protect themselves. Even the Minister of Police made unreasonable, rash statements that divided the communities even more. Until, of course, eventually he now says that it was definitely nothing to do with racism. But at that time, he was adamant because he was trying to, for the failure of his police officers to be able to protect our people, he was trying to divert attention and put it down to racism. And I raised it with him again and again and again. And I'm glad that eventually, but after much damage was done, he admits that this had nothing to do with racism.
Yeah, I'm at the goal of even disarming security companies. They said, no, you can't do this. And Metro Police were actually lifting out the barricade where people were putting this. No, this is illegal. So in other words, just open up and let them walk all over you, Ahmad.
Well, they want to be in control, but they're not in control. So what's the point in wanting to be in control on paper, but in practice, when the people need you to protect them, which is enshrined in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, the very people who are supposed to protect you are not in a position to be able to. But then when there are other organizations and individuals that want to come together to protect themselves, you have a problem with that. And I don't really believe that if there's another one tomorrow, they are ready to deal with it. No, they're definitely not able to deal with that, I can tell you. Because remember, your police force is also divided. Your military is also divided, supporting different factions of this ANC and things like that. So remember, there will be people in that military that Zuma would have put in. There are people that Cyril Ramaphosa would have put in the police force. It's exactly the same thing. Look at that Keshla Sitole, the former national commissioner. I think he was very good at his job. But he was treated as if he's a no-no. Not even the Minister of Police could understand the difference between operational matters and political, and interfered to such an extent that this national commissioner couldn't even do his work. But the president chose to protect the minister at the expense of the commissioner. You understand? And we now know why. So it makes it very difficult to be able to combat crime. And more importantly, prepare for any eventualities. If there are people there who are supposed to provide you with that information and who perhaps know about it and will not be able to want to do that, obviously because of who they are lying to. So it makes it very, very difficult. I mean, if you talk about you bringing in all these new recruits, all the extra, what are these recruits going to come and do when you have a protest or next month? Or this month, what are they going to do? What do they know? Do they know how to even hold a gun? You know, or have they been trained enough? Do they know how to deal with issues of this nature? No. So, our problem is leadership. We are run by people that don't have an idea of, in the portfolio that they hold on how to take that particular department or structure forward. And that's the problem you got.
Ahmad, a great chat with you. We have run out of time, but Allah keep you, Allah bless you. You have a mashallah beautiful trip ahead. You're going to fly back to Cape Town or Durban, I don't know. But enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.